Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What the gospel records this morning is the hostile response to Jesus' sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth. In response to the reading of Isaiah chapter 61, 1-2, we hear Jesus say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The messianic era of salvation has begun in Jesus, our Lord says. The Nazareth sermon begins what shall be Jesus' unvarying message of forgiveness throughout his earthly ministry. And the hostile response also anticipates, presages, the type of rejection that the gospel yet receives today whenever it is preached and presented in its truth and purity. At first, the reception to this pronouncement is mixed, a surprised confusion. All, Luke says, bear witness to Jesus and marvel at the words of favor that issue forth from his lips. But then, a negativity sets in. Is not this Joseph's son? How then can he proclaim such words of grace? Jesus pulls no punches. Instead of pleasing his hearers, some of whom doubtless thought they knew this hometown boy quite well, he infuriates them. The messianic pronouncement should be authenticated by signs in Nazareth, they think, such as those that were performed in Capernaum. But no dice. Since his words have not met with faith, Jesus does not perform signs to prove himself or satisfy a crowd's curiosity. Instead, he says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown, i.e., I guess that includes me too, Jesus says in effect. But nothing quite rattles the cage like the gospel itself. The two examples our Lord presents feature earlier prophets whose pronouncements of grace had saved sinners far from the hometown crowd. The first was the widow of Zarephath. Elijah could have gone to any other illustrious widow in Israel, but instead he was sent by Yahweh to a poor, starving widow woman way outside the circle of God's own people. In fact, she lived in pagan Zarephath, which at the time represented all the forces arrayed against God's kingdom. But Elijah went to her, like our candidates today, provided miraculously from a jar of flour and a cruse of oil that would not run out, then raised the widow's son. In the midst of a pagan kingdom, light dawned, the needy provided for, dead raised, sinners forgiven, and faith's clear response, "Now I know that you are a man of God," she said, "and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This widow could not have been more different from the hometown crowd that rejected Jesus. The second example was Naaman the Syrian. Elisha could have gone to any one of the other illustrious lepers in Israel with healing, but instead came to unworthy Naaman, a Gentile and unbeliever to boot, who, in fact, was in charge of an army arrayed against Israel. Naaman, too, became angry when he heard that he should wash 7 times in the fetid Jordan instead of the Abana or Pharpar or one of the more illustrious rivers of Damascus. But wash he did, to be sure, reluctantly, just as we are washed in spite of ourselves baptismally, and his flesh was restored, the text says, like that of a young boy. Oh, but how Naaman desired to leave a gift for the Lord. Like no other God in all the world, he said. But Elisha said no. Naaman would be healed, forgiven, made new by God's grace only, or not at all. Nevertheless, Elisha's parting words were, "Peace be with you." Again, the Messiah's release to someone so unworthy. Zarephath in Syria, widow woman and swaggering Naaman, sinners both, forgiven much. Jesus' first sermon to the hometown crowd anticipates the Gentile mission, and the pattern is clearly set until the end, teaching and miracles that authenticate the gospel, but the rejection of the gospel. The rejection of the gospel. The townsfolk of Nazareth had heard enough. Here's what it says in Luke. All the people in the synagogue were furious as they heard this. They are angry because Jesus won't be the type of Messiah they want him to be. At long last comes the miracle they've all been waiting for. Right when they're about to push our Lord over the precipice, Jesus walks through their midst, it says, and continues on his way. That journey will lead to another crowd, and in time, to a cross. On the cross shall be earned life and forgiveness, not only for the widows of Zarephath and the Naamans of Syria, but also for us who view these events from afar, and those to whom our Lord sends us, our winter candidates, and those of you also in time. All of us are so unworthy, so far from spiritual Israel, so to speak, so set against the gospel. But the gospel forgives such sinners as we are, heals us, restores us, empowers even unworthy us to represent the Lord Jesus among the others to whom he shall send us in his time. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.